Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Thursday morning, June the 2nd, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour. 62 degrees and cloudy skies here in Marion, and we have got a great event coming to the Five Nights on Campus series tonight here in Marion. Bettman and Halpin performs tonight, Thursday, June the 2nd, 7:30 p.m., Morrill Hall Auditorium, on the campus of The Ohio State University at Marion here tonight, and this is a performance you won't want to miss. We had Bettman and Halpin on years ago, and so glad they're back this morning via telephone to share what's going on tonight at Ohio State. Stephanie Bettman and Luke Halpin, hey, thanks, guys, for joining us.
Hey. Hi.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Hey, what can the audience expect tonight who shows up at 7:30 for the show?
A grand old time.
To see our shining faces. We're going to play a bunch of songs, some favorites that fans love, and we're going to play some new material. We've actually got a new CD that we are just releasing as of technically yesterday. That's actually a lovely project we've been working on for several years. It's a little bit different for us. We've done a lot of standards, jazz standards on that record, but also I've written a few compositions as well in that style.
Kind of the American songbook version of jazz standards, not to be confused with the fake book.
Although, yeah. Yeah, so we'll do a few of those to give people a taste of the new CD. We'll do some favorite. We released this is the second new CD for the folks here in Ohio, because we haven't been here since we released 1,000 Miles, which was in 2019, so we'll do some songs from that, and we actually won the USA songwriting competition with a song from that, which we'll share tonight. So, yeah, songs and stories and beautiful music, great harmonies, some great instrumental playing, and it's going to be a lovely evening. So we look forward to seeing everybody. I hope people are looking forward to seeing us. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And you guys have been here. Now, how many times have you been in Marion? Is it two or three?
Well, we've tried a few times, but we've only been here one other time.
Is that right? Only one other time?
Yeah, we were scheduled at the beginning of COVID. This was actually the first gig that got canceled at the beginning of COVID. And then I got COVID, and we had to cancel it again. So this is us back for a third try.
Third try.
What has it been like for being a performer during COVID?
Well, I think you ask any performer, and it's probably been an entirely different situation. For a minute there, you kind of expected it to go away, so we sort of slowed down and didn't do a lot, just thinking, oh, well, this is a nice break. And then, of course, a year later, it was like, oh, this isn't going anywhere. So we finally dug in and started making the most current record. It had its challenges for sure, but in some ways the downtime forced a little bit of a inner reflection that was much needed, I would say. I'm sure a lot of humans have been going through that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's been an interesting time. I mean, we were touring very regularly, and we had a whole year full of tours booked for 2020 when everything shut down, and at first we were both sort of relieved, and we realized how tired we were, honestly. And as it's gone on and things are pretty slow to come back for us, it's been an interesting time to sort of evaluate, you know, what is really exciting us and what really, you know, is what really matters. Yeah.
So what you're going to see tonight is a well-rested band.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've heard from a lot of people that during COVID that they kind of looked within themselves, as you both said you did. What did you find out about yourself during COVID?
Ooh.
You like to go deep. I love that about you, Scott.
That's right. We're gonna dig deep here this morning.
I'm gonna think about it.
Well, honestly, I will say, yeah, I actually have gotten on a whole very clear spiritual path during this time, which entails classical Indian yoga and meditation, and so that's been profound. I also, one of the things I fairly quickly realized, as you know, we were both sort of doing a lot of soul searching and a lot of evaluating, is that I am excited to do some new things. So I've been working on some new projects. In fact, I released a music video just, I guess, last month. Was it just last month?
Crazy, but yeah.
Time is so weird. And that's from a single on the new CD that's just now being released. And I've been wanting to film music videos for a lot of years, and I finally just said, okay, life is short. Let me just do what I actually have been wanting to do, even though it scared me and even though I didn't know how to make it happen. So there's that. There's sort of some new project building for both of us. We've both got sort of, you know, we're doing Beckman and Halpin, but we're also doing our own individual things, artistic project, which is exciting and new and feels like a good expansion. I think I also came to the realization that I didn't want to push anymore. Like, I'd been doing a lot of pushing, so trying to figure out how to still be on this path, how to still bring, you know, music and joy and love to audiences, but do it without feeling like Sisyphus. So, yeah. So that's been a shift in how I'm sort of approaching my life and my career. It's unclear yet how that's going to work out. We'll see.
Now, Luke, what did you learn?
Thanks for asking. Let's see. What I've come up with for the answer for today, is, this is very true. I wasn't expecting to share this on the radio today, but
yeah.
I've been performing since I was 8 years old. I was in a family band when I was very young. And so having this time shut down, spending a lot of time by myself, and just sort of sorting that all out, I think I've been in this habit of performing all the time, no matter what, even in social situations. So I think one of the big learning lessons for me is that I don't have to show up anywhere as anything other than myself. I mean, if we're going to go deep, that's kind of been the big learning lesson for me. Obviously, we can get into all the nitty-gritty details of why that is, but I'm not going to. But yeah, so that's for me the big thing is just relax and be authentic and just show up as myself, even if I'm not in the perfect mood. I don't have to fake it, you know? So that's been a big one for me.
Do want to remind people, the show tonight is part of the Five Nights on Campus series at Ohio State Marion here. Bettman and Halpin, 7:30 p.m., Morrill Hall Auditorium. Don't miss that. We're joined here this morning by Stephanie Bettman and Luke Halpin. Stephanie, you talked about music videos there. Now, we see music videos today, and they're interesting. A lot of them are provocative. What does music video mean to you?
Well, I kind of love the potential of music videos because they truly can be anything. You know, unlike I mean, prior to becoming Bettman and Halpin, and prior to the last 15 years of touring and writing songs and all of that, I was actually an actress in Los Angeles, and so I was in the movie business. And the thing that I love about music videos is they are not constrained by anything literal or any even linear kind of thinking. They can truly be anything. That being said, the one that I've just recently released, which is for a song called When We're Together, and it can be seen on YouTube. If folks want to go check it out, just look up Bettman and Halpin on YouTube, and we've got various videos on there, but including the most recent release, which is When We're Together. But that's actually somewhat linear, that little mini movie of that song, somewhat linear.
Well, tell them what you did.
Do you think I should tell them the actual, like, twist?
No, maybe just tell them the dancing and everything.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, so I wrote this song, When We're Together, a few years ago, and I, as soon as I wrote it, I thought, gosh, this would be so cool. I can just imagine, like, Fred and Ginger dancing to this song, because I wrote it in the sort of songbook style that it almost sounds like a 1940s sort of, or maybe even 1920s kind of classic sort of sweet mid-tempo romantic song, and I just immediately imagined like a dance video. And years later, when I said to myself, okay, dang it, I'm gonna make a music video happen, I wanted to do that song, and I wanted to do like a Fred and Ginger sort of choreography. And I used to dance. I mean, when I was a kid, that was my first love, was dancing. And I actually started doing ballet and tap when I was 3 years old. So I did dance as a child, and then I gave it all up to just, you know, learn how to play the violin and sing and do other things. But I never lost my love for it. So I was sort of reaching out through my connections to try to find somebody who could choreograph this music video that I had in my mind. And I landed with this professional ballroom dance, competition ballroom dancer named Timmy Mers. And so he was my collaborator with this video, and we spent months working on the dancing. And it's been such a joy to just be immersed again in dancing. And so fun to bring that to this music video. And so, yeah, I hope people will check it out. And that's sort of the central piece of it, is this dance between myself and Tim. So, yeah, what do you have to say about it, Luke? Anything?
Did you like the video, Luke? Let us know.
Yeah. Wonderful. They did amazing on it. It's spectacular. I just had to show up the day of shoot and stand there and play guitar, but it's really wonderful. I'm really proud of her. She really put a lot of time and effort into this thing.
Now, guys, you said, I think you said it was the second time you were here. Now, I went, we keep an archive here at the station, and you were on the program in 2015. Were you here in 2015?
Yes. I think that's the last time we played. We were trying to figure that out last night. The Morrill Hall, the Five Nights on Campus, that was the last time we played there.
In 2015, what is different than in 2022 as far as music goes?
Well, that's a very... Can you get more specific?
Yeah. Well, has there been any changes? Is it just the same thing? Is it just a same performance, different songs that...
For us?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we have a bunch of new music. Gosh, 2015, that would have been...
That was Diamond. Well, you know, there's two records now since then. One of them is this American Songbook record, which we will do a few songs from tonight. So that is an entirely, for me personally as a musician, that was an entirely new adventure. Like, I'm a folk musician, bluegrass guy, and my roots in country and stuff like that. So I know my, you know, 7 or 8 chords, and I own a capo for my guitar. But so on this record, I had to learn, you know, all of the jazz chords and attempt to understand how they all work together. So the music itself has shifted on the most recent record, though it's still done with the acoustic instruments that we play, so it's relevant. And that's exciting. I mean, and even the record from 2000, when did 1,000 Miles come out?
2019, we released
I would
that.
Say that one, since 2015, I mean, not to talk belittle us from 2015. I think we were wonderful then, but I mean, I think there's sophistication to the music that's developed lyrically and melodically since then.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, that's 7 years ago. Wow.
Well, that's
half our career.
Yeah. Well, that's.
I would say that people can expect to see us, you know, better than they can even remember. We've deepened. We've gotten even more comfortable on stage. We're just going to enjoy being with people and sharing stories and, you know, just being very present. And I think the music just gets better and better. I mean, honestly, I'm thrilled about this new record. I think it's the best recording project we've done thus far. And Luke's talking about the sort of upping the level of sophistication just in terms of the chord progressions that we've been writing and playing. But I also think vocally, you know, I think we are as advanced as we've ever been. As far as the music goes, the difference between 2015 and now is, well, we're 7 years better.
Well, that's kind of what I was working toward. In 7 years, I think we learn with each performance. Have you picked up anything performing-wise, stage performance, that you maybe would have done 7 years ago that now you wouldn't do?
I don't know if there's anything that I wouldn't do, but I think one of the things that happens with time and hundreds of thousands of shows is a comfort level and learning to show up and be more present than ever before. I'm sure we were fairly present back then, but I do think that, it's a show, but also now it's interacting with the actual audience that's in front of you versus sort of putting on your show and it's the fourth wall. It's actually like whatever's, I don't know, does that make sense?
Well, we've always been pretty interactive. I wouldn't say that there was anything that we wouldn't do that we would have done in 2015. I agree with Luke that I think it's just been a process of, gosh, you know, it's sort of hard to talk about in terms of, I mean, when I think about it, I think I've been performing my whole life. You know, I was an actress since the age of 13, really, and I was a dancer at the age of 3, and then I switched over to music 17 years ago now, because I was at it for a little while before I met Luke, but, as a performer, the sort of like pinnacle, the brass ring, I suppose, that you're reaching for, at least that I'm reaching for and that I'm always reaching for, is how much can I get out of my own way, you know, and just truly be present and in the moment. And that's where the magic happens. Because you never know, like, it's just the energy with every crowd, with every show, it's always new. Even if you're playing songs that maybe some of those songs you've played for 15 years, you know, it's always new because the people who are there, it's always different. It's always uniquely what it is. And quite honestly, I think that's one of the things that we have done well since we started, but we've just gotten deeper and deeper in terms of our authenticity and in terms of just being able to show up and truly be present and share what there is to share and enjoy the moment and tell stories and, you know, just be with people. And I think that we are probably the best that we've ever been at that. So, yeah, does that answer
your question? It does, and I want to let people again know that Bettman and Halpin tonight, Thursday, June the 2nd, 7:30 p.m., Morrill Hall Auditorium, part of the Five Nights on Campus series at The Ohio State University. So you're not going to want to miss this. And I saw them perform, I believe it was in 2015, and it really is well worth going to see. It's a great, great, great performance and very enjoyable. You know what I like is you can understand the lyrics and you can understand the sound. It's not all jumbled together. It's not like a lot of music today.
Thank you. Sure, yeah. Yes, that's true. We're sort of old school that way, and a lot of people appreciate that they can understand our lyrics and that our lyrics make sense. In fact, you know, a lot of people find them very moving. So, yeah.
Now, when you're writing a song, what is the process? Is it something that happened in your life? Is it something you saw happen? What is the process of writing a song?
Well, anything can inspire a song. For me specifically, it's usually a blend, quite honestly. Sometimes I've written quite a few songs from other people's experience as I've been an observer, but then I will always sort of put it through my own personal filter of either how I am or how I would like to be in the world.
There's a lot of songs which we will share a handful, if not a lot of them tonight, of experiences from the road too. I mean, we've seen and we've ran into so many people and seen so many stories. So
there's
a lot of that. I mean, our song that won the
USA folk songwriting,
the first place in the folk category. Actually, a really good story to that, which I'm sure we'll probably do that song tonight, and we'll tell the story about the behind the writing of that song.
Yeah.
Yeah,
actually, we've got a few songs on the Thousand Miles record, which came out in 2019, which are inspired by travels around the country, you know, playing shows and just being in different parts of the country and feeling the history there, or,
people moved us in way to write a song.
Or actually, there's another song which we're going to do. It's called Eastbound to Westville, which was such a ridiculous inspiration, truly. We were playing a little town in Oklahoma called Westville, and ironically, this town is on the very eastern border of the state of Oklahoma, and so I was commenting on that in a show that how I thought that was rather amusing. And this fellow in the audience came up to me after the show and said, well, you should write a song called Eastbound to Westville. And I thought that was really clever, and I chewed on it for a little while. So I wrote that song, you know, and that was a random kind of inspiration. Then the song that we just released the video of, When We're Together, that was an inspiration that came directly from me and my own sort of heart and people whom I have loved in my life, who for one reason or another are not currently in my life, some because they, you know, were elderly and they've passed on, or some, you know, just loves who just don't last, or for one reason or another. So it was kind of, that was the theme of that song. And so that was what when I say sometimes it's blended, you know, it's a couple of different experiences that have blended into this song that kind of becomes what it becomes. I so often find that I'll start writing a song with an intention, and as the song kind of comes through and gets crafted into an actual song, it kind of becomes its own thing, and it becomes what it wants to become, which is sometimes what I'm intending and frequently not entirely what I was intending, but probably better. So yeah, it's an interesting art form.
Absolutely. Now, for people who don't know, how did you two get together as a group?
I hired Luke back in 2007. I had at the time a four-piece bluegrass band that I had just started, and I'd been going for about a year, and I was having trouble finding musicians who would actually take the time to learn original songs, and so I was in the process of looking for new players. And Luke was actually recommended to me by a guitar player that I was working with at the time. And Luke was recommended as a mandolin player. So I called him up and I asked him to, you know, come over and see if he might like to work with me on some music. And he said yes. And we've been working together ever since. You want to get into that story at all, Luke?
Yeah, as I said before, I had been performing since I was a little kid, and I'd played in all sorts of bands after that. And so at the time that Stephanie called, I guess I was seriously contemplating quitting the music business. I don't even know if that's a real thing for me, but it was definitely in a downwards part of my path, and for various reasons. Actually, it's interesting because the guitar player who referred me to Stephanie, I had actually been playing a gig with, and he's like, there's this woman that's going to call you to be in her band, and you're going to say yes. That's what he told me.
I'm glad he did.
Now, when I was listening to the interview from 2015, there was an interesting story that I believe you told, Stephanie, what, about how you guys got together, and you had said at that time that you were not going to be in any more relationships with people you worked with. See the things I remember, even 7 years ago.
How deep do we
want to
go?
Tell us that. Well, let's dig deep on this one.
Okay.
Well, what's the question?
Well, and now tell us that story about what happened, and then where are we today?
Well, wow. Okay. You really don't pull any punches. all right. So Luke and I, we started working together in 2007, and we actually started dating in 2008. So we'd worked together for about a year, and we started dating, and we stayed together for 11 years. We actually...
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
We broke up as a couple and decided to maintain the friendship and the band. So it's an evolution.
It's an evolution, yeah. It's a lot of togetherness. When you're in a band together and you're a couple. And we found at a certain point that we wanted to allow each other a little bit more space. So, 3 years ago we stopped being a couple. But I would say we're still terrific friends and still very much enjoying making music together and making the best music that we have so far.
Now, that's very interesting. When you came to the separation point, but not the separation point of the group, was that hard to maintain?
Well, you know, it's actually kind of, yes, I guess the easy in some ways, but what's also interesting is, so this happened right before COVID kicked in.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening in reality is we ended up breaking up and then getting quarantined together. So we were forced into this, what ends up being a gift of really having to sit with it all and dig it in and actually talk it all out and really sort it out versus just, saying whatever one says and then ignoring it. It was challenging, but we both still cared for each other enough to be, we've always been respectful. And so, it was challenging for sure. But I wouldn't say it was like brutal or anything.
What advice can you give to people? Because a lot of people end relationships and then they don't want to see each other ever again. How do you do that and still maintain a nice franchise here, a nice performing group?
Mm. Well, everybody's different. And Luke and I have always had an extremely high level of compatibility. We've always just been very naturally harmonious together. And I say that with all of the meanings, because obviously people who come to the show tonight are going to hear a lot of harmonies. That's been a tremendous gift, and I think that natural affinity and aesthetic sort of similarity too has been part of the reason that we've been able to do this. We're both fairly, peace loving people.
I mean, I would say, like, well, number one, you have to want to.
You
have to have a desire to maintain the relationship, keep some form of the relationship. And then it boils down to like almost the cliche of communication. And I would add kindness, we're also, interestingly, as this was happening with the same time frame that because of the thing we already talked about with COVID and then spiritual practices and meditating, that was all happening simultaneously. So in some ways it all was a gift that it all kind of happened at the same time. So there was tools in place to accomplish the desire to stay friends and stay business associates. That's a formal word for artists.
No, it's a great story for people to learn from. 43 minutes past the hour. Do want to let people know that Bettman and Halpin tonight will be on the campus of The Ohio State University here in Marion. Five nights on campus, 7:30 p.m., Morrill Hall Auditorium. You will not want to miss this. Stephanie Bettman and Luke Halpin are joining us here this morning for about 16 more minutes. My last question on this, just because I think it's a learning experience, and we'll get back to the music. What did you find out didn't work as a relationship that does work as a performing group?
Oh, interesting question. Well, I have an answer. Don't entirely hold me to it yet. I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to sort this out loud. But when we did our very first show post breakup, for lack of a better word, it's sort of a terrible word, but post decision, I noticed a shift in the show where I felt like it instantaneously got better, because a certain amount of the sort of enmeshment was gone. So there was like this independence going on, these two independent people performing on stage without, I don't really know how to describe it, but without a certain amount of, I don't know, some of the negative, I don't really know how to describe it, but there was an independence with both people. So the whole became greater than the sum of its parts in that moment, in a way that felt significantly different and better to me at the time, and I think that that holds up. So I wonder if, you know, when you're performing, when there's multiple people performing, it's almost necessary to everyone to be independent, and in that independence form a group, as opposed to in a relationship. Granted, there needs to be some independence, but now I'm losing my train of thought, but there's a certain amount of constantly checking in with, well, I don't know exactly how I'm trying to word it, but in the separation, there was an independence that showed up on stage that I thought let each one of us be our fullest selves, and then that combination made the show even stronger. I don't know if that makes sense. That's the best I can do at the moment.
You know what? I think every person who's ever been in a relationship who's listening to this show understood what you just said.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Now, Stephanie, what do you think? Well, what didn't work as a relationship that does still work as a group?
Well, I think Luke actually put it really well in terms of, I think one of the hardest things with being in relationship with the person you also have a career with is allowing enough space and time for each person in that union to be an individual and to invest in themselves as individuals, rather than just pouring everything into the couple and everything into the career. And I think that is what we were both needing, and why we made the decision that we made to kind of reorganize ourselves and no longer be a couple. And I think that a lot of people in relationship, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to be in relationship, but it's very important to maintain one's individuality. And I think that is what we had kind of lost, and now we've got it back because we've allowed more space. So, and also growth, you know, growth as individuals. It's one thing to be in relationship or even in an artistic partnership, and there's a certain requirement of growing in the same direction in order to maintain that partnership or relationship. And I think it's not that we aren't still growing artistically in a compatible way, but now that we've sort of made more space, there's more growth potential, which is exciting and feels invigorating and enlivening. And
that's a really good point. Now in the separation of us all, we're out learning new things and bringing new things to the table. That's a little easier to find. So that's really cool. I dig that.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I went into this, because we did talk about it in 2015, and I thought people might like an update, and I did not know, just for clarification, that the relationship had ended for the listening audience. That was
we
not...
This is the most ugly we've ever been, but it's fine.
Who knew this would be a therapy session? I didn't know this morning. But no, but it's interesting because now our performers, because of social media and our YouTube and everything like that, Twitter, we want to know more than just what people do. That goes for actors, it goes for musicians, it goes for even broadcasters. We want to know what they do. We want to know what they eat. We want to know who they're in a relationship with. We want to know that sort of stuff. And that's different than it used to be. Is that hard sometimes? Especially when you're going through something like this, some nosy interviewer on the radio is asking you about your relationship.
Find anything hard, but yeah, I mean, it definitely sometimes can be a little confusing on the best way to sort of handle these sorts of things when you're, you know, not, we're not like super famous, but like when you are sort of in the public eye, it's tricky to figure out the best plan. And we actually have had, you know, a couple of fans have found out and way more
really
upset than we ever were, so it's tricky to figure out the best way to.
I hope we haven't just broken a bunch of hearts in Ohio.
Everyone, we're fine. We're fine. Everything's great.
Yeah,
it can be a little tricky, I would say, to know the best way to share these sorts of things with people. Because, yeah, there does feel to be some sort of, I don't know if it's an actual obligation, but, yeah, a lot of people are sharing a lot of things about themselves these days, which I'm old enough that that's a little new and weird to me.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think we want to know everything about everybody now?
I'm just shooting from the hip, but an idea that comes to mind, I can't say I've given this a lot of deep thought, honestly. I've been sort of perplexed by this trend toward, you know, bringing all of your skeletons out of the closet and putting them on social media. I'm not sure how I feel about it completely, honestly, but I think that we are all so hungry for the feeling of connection. And because we have built our technology the way we have and we relate to it in such an all the time, you know, this is, and especially with COVID having shut down so many of our avenues for social interaction and for intimacy and closeness with other people, I think we have turned to our technology and we're trying to meet that need. And it's so maybe that's part of why people seem to want to know all of the backstory and all of the, you know, hidden back closet kind of truth behind said persona. And I think that there is more and more awareness and more kind of transparency might be the wrong word, but just this awareness that what you're seeing on social media isn't real. That people are presenting a sort of a facade, a happy face, you know, everything's great, here we are in the mountain hiking, or whatever, you know, like that's what we see on social media, and then we sit there in our own lives knowing that that's not our whole truth, and we want to see that represented by the people that we are feeling like we're connecting to. So perhaps that's what it is. I certainly feel like we're kind of in an interesting place as a species, honestly, because of our relationship to technology, and yet we are lacking some very important tools of self-knowledge and true connection and connection to things that last and that matter. Whereas everything that happens through technology is very temporal. So I don't know, maybe perhaps we're in a bit of a spiritual crisis. People are talking about the mental health issues in the country, you know, and I think that that is reflective of not having a deeper connection to something meaningful. And ultimately, that's, you know, it's deep connections interpersonally, but it's also a deep connection to yourself. And however you define that, whether you have a spiritual practice or whether you think of it as a religious practice or whatever you may have going on, or even a potentially just a practice of even a physical kind of, you know, exercise practice or whatever, however gets you into a state of deeper connection to yourself, I think is something that is feeling needed, and more people are starting to search for it through various paths. So perhaps I've now just gone on a long tangent, I recognize, and I've just basically written a paper about connection, human connection and technology in the state of the world. So that's my answer, shooting from the hip.
No, it's very, very, very good. 53 minutes past the hour tonight at Ohio State. Five nights on campus, Bettman and Halpin. 7:30 p.m. is the start time. Morrill Hall Auditorium, you won't want to miss this. 6 minutes left here with Stephanie Bettman and Luke Halpin. When somebody comes to a show, program, concert that you guys do, what do you hope they leave thinking, feeling when they walk out tonight?
Well, my goal is always joy. I mean, we're gonna play with all the emotions potentially, because some of the songs are fairly deep and there's a lot of fun. But number one, I want people to feel better when they leave than when they got there, and I want to help them tap into their innate joy. That's my goal.
Yeah, and I would say similarly. It's always my goal for people to be transformed and to be uplifted by our shows. And sometimes that upliftment comes by way of, other emotions, which we will be delving into in some of our songs. But ultimately, we always want to leave people full of joy and feeling good about the world and life and themselves, and yeah, ready to go back out into the world.
And speaking to Stephanie's last connection with each other and the audience, with us, with the whole, all of the, when music's an incredible medium for energy to float around a room, and connect to all the people. So connection is huge. Come out and connect with us, people.
Yeah.
You know, there have been several books written over the years about how performers tend to be shy people. Would you consider yourself shy?
I do, yes. I was.
I do not consider myself shy.
What propels you to want to get up and perform in front of people?
I want everyone to like me. This vulnerable moment brought to you by Luke Halpin. No, that's a good question. You go, Stephanie.
Well, I think, I started performing as an actor, so I think as a very shy person, it was a way for me to explore being human in front of other people without having to actually be myself. And then when I transitioned over to being a full-time musician, I needed to be fully myself. And what I talked about in terms of just the deepening level of authenticity and getting out of my own way, that's about just being in front of people and being fully present and truly yourself. And that's something we all need, I think, honestly. And I've been working on shyness since I was a child. I've made a lot of progress. I don't know that I could have had this conversation when I was 12.
I know for me, like, when it comes to the instruments particularly, I mean, I do love to sing, but particularly playing instruments, like, that is my joy in my life. Like, I will do that on my couch tomorrow without anyone being there. I just love playing my instruments. So I think that just for me, I get to do what I love, and I get to do it when there's other people in the room, speaking to energy again. It just magnifies my own personal joy of doing this thing I love, and I get to do it with and for others, that then magnifies it even more. So in some ways it's fairly self-indulgent, but it's also this wonderful thing to share with everybody. For me, it's just what I love.
I would say that that's true for me too, and I would say it's not self-indulgent, actually. Well, I would say it's the gift we have to give, and but it also gives to us. So, sharing harmony, sharing songs, sharing stories, sharing music, beautiful music, like that, it makes me happy, it makes the audience happy, it makes Luke happy, everybody wins.
Mm. Now, if people want to see the video, the music video, or they want to buy the CD and they can't attend tonight's performance, how do they find those items?
The music video is on YouTube. If they go to Bettman and Halpin on YouTube, they will find it. And the CD is available for sale through our website, which is BettmanandHalpin.com. And it's just this, there's a banner, it says, actually it says right now pre-order.
Right now it says pre-sales, but you can still buy it and everything will be fine. I need to get into the website today and
update that.
Update everything because we finished that yesterday. But yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great performance tonight. Five nights on campus, Bettman and Halpin, 7:30 p.m., Morrill Hall here in Marion, Thursday, June the 2nd. The performers are Stephanie Bettman and Luke Halpin. They've also been the guests. And you know, guys, one of the reasons I wanted to have you back on today was because when you were here in 2015, and I don't remember anything, I remembered having you guys on, and it was a lot of fun because I think you are open, and I think that's a refreshing. There doesn't seem to be any guard there. And the performance, as I said earlier, was, of course, great at the show back in 2015. So thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
It's been fun chatting with you, Scott. I hope to see you tonight.
Yep, stay well, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bettman and Halpin tonight at OSU Morrill Hall. It really is a great, great performance. They have a great, great chemistry and group going on there. 7:30 tonight. Glenn Coble coming up next here on this station for this day. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Enjoy yourself.
You're listening to